The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
Welcome to the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast. Not sure what season it is or episode, I've lost count, but it is another edition. And
nobody cares, Ben.
No. Well, someone might. Can someone be jotting it down at home?
Well, if somebody is, can you let us know? Because we've got no idea.
We don't know what we're doing, but big shout out to Jerome and the team at Kerr's Hire.
Hello, Jared.
Yes, Jared loves
Jerome.
Do you consider calling your kid Jerome?
No.
We have a cat at work called Kevin. He's quite a.
Who was the last Kevin to play in the AFL?
Kevin. Well, I don't know. Kevin Higgins, Kevin Sheehan. There's got to be more.
Kevin Walsh played at
Essendon. Yeah, well, number 30, I think.
Kevin Caton played at Fitzroy and I think the Eagles and maybe the Brisbane Bears.
Well, you got me there. I'm not familiar with old Kev Caton's work. So in relation to
Michael?
Yeah.
No.
There's got to be a few Kevins. Has there been more? It's disappointing there's not more.
Has there been a Kevin since Kevin Walsh? Kevin Dyson at Sydney in Melbourne?
Yeah, there's very few.
After that...
If you have a Kevin in your side, it sort of gives you some uplift, doesn't it? I would have thought. There's some moral support to the team.
We're lacking Garys now.
We're lacking a lot of all those good names. Brett. All those good footy 70s Darren's, and 80s names. There's none of those.
Brett's?
No. Bernie? There's no Bernies.
We had Bernie Vince.
Yeah, that was a while ago now. Bernie Quinlan. Yeah. Bernie Evans.
Bernie Evans was a good player.
Yes, we're lacking all those good names. The Cats were lacking on Friday night, weren't they? Yeah. I don't know if it was through names, but they were lacking in a few departments.
Glad I didn't see it, and I still haven't seen it.
No, it was disappointing.
Am I missing
anything? They were beaten by 4 points. And had that goal been allowed at the first, Geelong probably would have won by 15 goals, I reckon. They would have gone on to win by 15 goals. No, they didn't deserve to win is probably the truth.
So Reg tipped Geelong to beat Port Adelaide by 70 points.
Yeah, Neody gets on and goes, oh, Geelong went easy. And you know what? I sort of thought to myself, that's the sort of arrogance that permeates just enough into your side that gets it beaten. Oh, I knew this other win by 61 points. And, you know, he laughed off Carlton at all. And then you could see after, sometimes in those games too, I reckon, where your red hot favourite, when you jump out to an early lead in the first quarter,
you ease off.
Well, sometimes it bites you on the ass. I mean, they did the same thing against Port Adelaide, didn't they? Three of the first four, I'm pretty sure. Or four of the first five, even. Anyway, they jumped out to a 3-goal lead. And they did the same on Friday night. They jumped out to 4-4 to 1-1 at the first change. And Geelong were, I don't know, they were dominating in that first quarter, but they made the most of their opportunities. And you sort of thought, well, it's just going to be Geelong going to win by sort of 30 or 40 points. And then you knew after the second quarter they were in trouble. Carlton should have actually put the Cats the sword in the second term, but they kicked inaccurately.
Kicked 4-6.
Yeah. They had 10 shots at goal, and I reckon they had about 21 inside 50s. They actually monstered Geelong in the second quarter. And look, you knew it was going to be a struggle from there. Geelong got beaten around the ball. They didn't have a lot of run. The centre clearances were an issue. It's easy to say in hindsight. I just wonder whether, you know, some of the coaching moves didn't help in the end. I mean, Jack Henry's, a minute and a half away from being the match winner by kicking the goal. Should he be up forward? I don't know. I think that they're trying to fit players in. You know, they're trying to play Colajasny, which means where do you put Henry? Henry's up forward alongside Cameron, Neil, Ollie Henry, Dangerfield, all marking options. Nothing really at ground level. You know, there was a few other issues. I thought that Shannon Neal got injured, seemingly was innocuous in the first quarter, and then he looked to be in a lot of trouble when he came from the ground. He got kneed inadvertently in the sort of hip abdomen area, and he looked to be in a lot of trouble, went straight down the race, didn't come back on for quite some time, but then did come back on. And then when the game's in the balance in the last quarter, Geelong are getting absolutely pizzled out of the middle from centre clearances. And they've got, for a big whack of the last quarter, they've got Shannon Neal in the ruck. So I was confused because Mark Blitzarves, he was in witness protection. Yep. He couldn't get a kick.
He struggled since he's come back.
Yeah, he's been... How many kicks did he have? Four?
For the night, he had three.
Three. He was horrible. Yep. Horrible. And yet, why wouldn't you have at least thrown him into the ruck? I mean, I know Edwards needs to have a rest, so that's fine. If he has to have his spell at certain times, it just seemed odd to have a bloke who'd copped a serious injury then playing in the ruck when your team's getting beaten in the ruck. And he got beaten about three or four times, Neil. And then you've got Blitzers who can't get a kick playing on the wing, who doesn't go into the ruck at all. I mean, he was in there for a very short periods, but I'd have to see it again, but I don't think he really played in the ruck at all in the last quarter.
10 hit-outs for the night.
Yeah, I don't know. It sort of... It was one of those losses that was so frustrating. Yeah. It could be so costly.
It could come back and bite them on the butt.
Yeah.
Yep.
They have an ability, the Cats, just to play down to some teams.
Yeah.
I mean, if this game was played this weekend and it was a final and Geelong were playing Carlton...
They win it by 10 goals.
I reckon you're right.
Yeah.
It's just one of those... They just have that ability to make things a struggle and play down. They never get thrashed.
St Kilda at Marvel.
Yeah, well, they don't hate that game.
Yep.
GWS here at home.
Yep.
They struggle.
Carlton. I think four of the last five.
And then the coach was asked about that, and he had no idea that Carlton had the wood on the Cats, which...
Well, it's interesting because that was raised post-game, but it was also raised last week.
So...
Eddie's media conference.
So he knew full well.
And he actually didn't roll his eyes, but he raised an Isaac to say...
What? Who cares?
Well, no, they don't. It was almost a... Yeah, right. he dismissed it as if that... And I'm thinking... And I on the spot was thinking, no, hang on, no, Carlton have actually the last few years.
For whatever reason, they've troubled the Cats.
Yep. Even going back to Geelong-Carlton here when COVID, we came back from COVID 6 years ago, and we had Sam Walsh on after the game because they'd come down here, a rare time that Carlton had come to Geelong and beat them as well.
Well, and the other thing too, that the old getting, you know, beaten up around the ball, I mean, I think Walsh and Cripps had 60 possessions between them, about 15 clearances. Chera got a bit of it. Hewitt got a bit of it.
Jagger Smith
got a heap of it, particularly in the first half. He dropped off a little bit in the second half.
But blokes who couldn't get, like George Hewitt was fumbling around in the twos a month ago.
He had a 22 or something?
Yeah, Nick Newman, 25.
Yeah, I can't have him. But he, look, you know, when Walsh, Cripps, Smith, Hewitt, Chera.
Ainsworth had it 25 too.
Yeah, he played well, Ainsworth. When they're all getting 25 plus or, you know, 22 plus, it makes life very difficult. And the ruck was a problem. I thought Geelong's defence actually played reasonably well. What was the inside 50 count in the end?
It was 48 Carlton, 54 Geelong.
Yeah, so Geelong were plus six. And I reckon, I don't know, I reckon they had 20 inside 50s in the second quarter alone. It was absolutely lopsided in that second quarter. I just wonder whether, you know, you return Jack Henry to defence.
Yep.
Now, does Lawson Humphries play this week?
Well, he's a test, so we've just got the injury report. So we're recording Tuesday afternoon. I'd be surprised if he plays.
Does Shannon Neal play?
He isn't listed on the injury report.
Humphries looked to be quite badly. He was... carried off sort of fireman's carry style and then returned. So thank God he did, because when he was going off, I'm thinking, God, he's really hurt himself.
Yep.
So he's in doubt. Yep. So if he goes out, then they can probably return Henry to defence.
But they lose a little bit of just a bit of poise and a bit of dash off half back.
Of course they do.
Yep.
But I mean, I don't know, what are you going to replace that with?
Well, I don't know.
I mean, they're playing...
Busey.
They'd have to find his magnet first. It's gone down the shitter. Where did it go?
I don't know.
Does he know where it is?
It's come out at the sewage outfall at the beach.
We get it out there. Have you seen Jeb Busey's magnet?
Well, we've got Nathan Buckley on before the game.
Well, he...
And he's looking after the defensive unit.
Does he ever cite a Jeb Busey?
Maybe you could ask him, Ben. Well, instead of just pontificating here about where...
Well, I've asked about Jed Buse before.
Well, maybe ask Buse...
I asked Andrew Mackey, I reckon.
Well, ask Bucks, because he looks after the back.
Well, he's going to give you the diplomatic answer that he's just working on a few things and, you know, we'll love to fit him
in.
We'll
still ask.
Everybody's part of the squad and all that crap that they go on with. Well, we've spoken about it. It's very odd that he's in the list.
Yeah.
He's clearly not being played this year.
No. Why don't they just come out and say, look, we're paying $150K to a bloke to run around in the VFL because he was the best option?
is absolutely break in case of, like, not just an emergency, like a catastrophe.
Do you know he played his 100th VFL game last week?
Did he?
Yep.
And 150?
175.
So he's played 275 games.
Yep.
Wow. Yep. Good effort. Well, good on him for B. I mean, it must be difficult for him. He's run around in the twos. Is he playing well in the twos?
He's solid, yeah. Yeah.
Which is what he does in the singles.
Because the twos are flying.
So maybe you want to play in a twos flag.
Twos.
So like a local sort of
like,
club.
Like Bluey.
Yeah.
Finish,
yeah, that's right.
Finish off possibly. You know, David Minch.
Possibly.
All that crew.
The other thing that's starting to piss me off is that...
Upset you, Ben.
Yeah. It's upsetting me, Dom. I get upset easily.
I get upset when you is piss that, me off.
Yeah, well, is that... We're playing all these midfielders off halfback.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tanner Bruin, Holmes, Atkins. Now, my mail is that Tommy Atkins is struggling with plantar fascia. And if you look at his numbers the last 4 or 5 weeks...
Well, he's barely kicking the footy.
He can't move. So...
Is he getting a spell this week?
And he's also copped that bad corky, didn't he, a few weeks ago?
So is he one that...
Well, I think he needs to. If you look at his tackle numbers, have a look at his tackle numbers the last 5 weeks. I think he's averaging about 5 tackles. When he was last year, he was averaging close to 10 per game. Can't move.
So what do you want? He's averaging... Well, he had a 2 against Collingwood.
2 tackles.
Yep.
He would have had that in 5 minutes in most games last year.
6 against Brisbane, 4 against Sydney, 7 against Carlton. But look at the trend of the game, Collingwood and Sydney. Geelong dominated those games.
He's struggling though, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
He struggled on the weekend. What did he have on the weekend in terms of overall numbers?
No, 16, 2 kicks. Yeah. So he hasn't had double-figure kicks since the West Coast game in Gather Round.
Yeah, so he's struggling with plantar fascia. And look, no disrespect to him.
But he's potentially too, he's maybe with this handball game Geelong have adopted in recent weeks, maybe the kick numbers have gone
Well,
down.
I just don't think he's getting around the ground like he was. He's getting caught a lot. He just doesn't have the get-off. I mean, I know he wasn't an explosive player, but he's struggling. And I was going to say, look, and no disrespect to him, he has scrapped and fought every inch of the way to get a career, I think it's 169 games.
165.
So, and he's a tenacious player. But he's a sort of player where he needs to be close to fully fit to be able to compete at this level on a week-in, week-out basis. He doesn't have the underlying talent to go in with an injury that is seriously debilitating his ability to reach his full potential. And that is showing up. Now, why wouldn't you be playing Warple and allow Tom Atkins time to get right?
Yep. Or George Stephens, who's had 41 in the VFL last week.
Well, is it going to be wet in Adelaide?
The
problem with George Stephens is Neildy. I just called you Neildy.
Thanks.
Sorry about that.
Who are you apologizing to?
Tom. Because after Neildy's arrogance was about Geelong were going to win 100 goals and they didn't.
Well, I've got a question for you.
No, so George, unfortunately, he's too slow.
Yeah.
He's just too slow.
Can I ask a question of you about Tom Atkins? He's contracted until the end of next year. He's on 165 games.
Mm.
If he was to play at the rate that he's played, he gets to 200 games. Is he getting to 200 games?
What if he plays every game this year, then every game next year?
Basically.
What is he, 29?
30. We turn 31 in September.
Do you reckon it's going to be a photo finish, Kingy?
Yep.
I think we'll have to get out it could be a develop print.
So does he get another contract after next year?
Oh, look. I think it would depend on how they draft and what they recruit.
Yep.
If they go and get a star midfielder or another on-baller, and then I'd say no.
Because is Tom Atkins taking Tanner Bruin's spot in the midfield?
Well, I don't understand.
Or they talk about easing Tanner Bruin back. You know, running him off half-back, he's had some bursts in the midfield.
Easing him back? He's a professional athlete.
Let me just finish.
Yeah.
But is it now time to go, hang on, well, we're halfway through, he's played 11 or 12 games. Let's get going. Because he's a midfielder. That's what he was drafted by the Giants at, what, pick 12, 13?
12, I think.
He was drafted as a midfielder. Geelong got him down to be a midfielder.
So why are we playing him off half-back?
I have no idea.
When he's never learned how to defend. Why do we play Jai Clark, the biggest game of the year, the grand final.
Yeah, you have to move on from cross that. Half-back. I know you've asked that question numerous times.
Why though? Well, nobody's ever explained. Now he can't even get a game. He's magnet. He's getting shushed across next to Buseys at the minute. He's not likely to get back. I mean, I know he's had the injuries, but the concussions. But I can understand Holmes off half back. I can understand that move at times because he is an X factor and he creates, and him running through the midfield, receiving the ball, creating. Bruin doesn't do that. Tom Atkins, he ain't doing that.
No, Jai Clark's not doing that.
No. And you've got Humphreys, you've got Guthrie, you've got Stewart. As Humphreys is just a great rebounding defender. Stewart is an intercept player. Guthrie is an intercept player. Yep. Stewart, and I could mount a case for you that Stewart, Humphreys and Guthrie are the three best kicks in the club. So why are we then playing, when we're short in the midfield, why are we playing our, you know, your meat and potatoes midfielders in Atkins and Bruin off half back?
Not sure. Are they trying? Were they? I don't know. Not hiding Tom Atkins, but like they've.
Really, well, it's reached the point where I think they need to make a decision on him because he's clearly being hampered.
Yeah,
he's not, and he's not capable of. As I said, he's just not. It's not a knock on him. He's at that level of footy where he has to be going pretty well to compete.
Yeah,
and when he's going well, like he fit, like he was last year, he offers a great service to the team. He plays a great role within the team. When he, at this stage of his, where he's at, he's not. He's struggling. The last 4 or 5 weeks have been a struggle for him, and now they're trying to play him in a position that's pretty foreign to him at this level.
Yeah.
I don't see it.
Where did they start him when he came in? They started him back, didn't they? And then they moved him forward and then into the midfield.
You mean the VFL?
No. When he came to the AFL.
Oh, he might have played a little bit in defence, I suppose, but he's not really a defender. He's not tall. He's not quick. He's not great overhead.
He just has a crack.
Yeah. And that's when you're a midfielder. That's when he can play a role in the midfield. He can supplement the offensive midfielders, as in Smith, as in Holmes, as in Tanner Bruin to a degree, because he's quite creative. He supplements that by being a defensive player.
Yeah.
But we're playing him off half back when we have players. I could name Humphreys, I could name Stewart, I could name Guthrie, I could name Jack Henry, I could name, I don't know, have O'Connor.
Yeah.
As better options across half back than Tanner Bruin.
Yep.
Or Tom Atkins.
Yep. Even probably potentially Mullen. So what? What back there.
So can you explain to me why? Nobody can.
No.
So anyway, it'd be interesting to see what they do with selection this week, because I would have thought that a fit Warple is on par with Tom Atkins, a fit Tom Atkins.
Yep.
But Warple is better at the moment than an underperforming, carrying an injury Tom Atkins.
Yeah. Jack Martin will be back.
So he comes back, and then so Henry can't play up forward.
No.
You can't have six marking forwards.
No.
Is Thilthorpe playing? He's out suspended.
Yes.
And is Rankin out?
I haven't seen Adelaide's injury.
So Rankin injured his hamstring, or his calf, was it? Calf or hamstring? Might have been his calf against Hawthorn 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
I'd be surprised if he was playing, given it is a shorter. I know he missed last week. They had a bye, but it is a shorter week into Thursday.
Looking at 3 weeks.
I'd be surprised if he plays. So Thilthorpe and Rankin are out. Two big outs for Adelaide.
Yeah, it was a calf for Rankin.
Yeah, I'd be staggered if he played off 10 days.
Yeah.
Or 11 days, whatever it was.
The other one's Callum Archie.
He's out, isn't he?
Yeah, he's got a thumb issue.
Yeah. So Archie's going to be in doubt.
Walker will play.
Walker will come back in.
Yeah.
He's handy, but, I mean, they've got Walker, Fogarty. Thilthorpe out is a big one.
Yeah.
He's there. Because he also plays the second ruck.
Correct.
So they've got a young ruckman who's about 8,000 centimetres high.
Mick Andrew.
Yeah.
It's whether they bring O'Brien in.
You're not going to play Mac Andrew and O'Brien, I would have thought. No. They're too sort of lumbering. So the second ruck becomes an issue. Does Neil, if Neil's not playing for the Cats, does that open up anything? There's probably no obvious replacement. They just have to shuffle the decks a little bit.
Yeah.
Does that leave Henry up forward if Neil didn't play?
Well, probably, yeah. We haven't. There's no indication that Neil won't play.
Right.
Yeah.
It did seem odd.
Yeah.
He did go off in, you know, when players go off and then they stay on the boundary and they get checked over and then they go down the rooms. He just...
Straight down.
Straight gone.
Yeah.
Same with Lawson Humphreys.
Yeah. Sometimes they do that with players, though, just so they're not in the gaze of the cameras to do it.
Possibly.
Well.
Possibly. It didn't look good, though. He did look to be... Both players looked... It was one of those injuries where you thought, ooh, that doesn't look good.
Yeah. 3 weeks for the Cats.
So it's Adelaide away.
Gold Coast here.
Well, I'd be favouring the Cats here against the Gold Coast.
And then the Dockers over at Perth.
Yeah, well, that's... you need to bring your absolute A game to be winning
8-4 could be 9-6 at the bye.
Yeah. I had a look, Kingy. My prediction for the Cats is 15-7. Sorry.
15-8?
15-8. Yep. 15-8 or 16-7.
And going to either Sydney or Perth for a qualifying final.
Do you reckon 15-8 would get you for top four?
Yep.
It would?
I reckon it will, yeah.
Yeah. We spoke about last week the challenges. Brisbane are gone.
Yep.
I think Brisbane are done.
Yep.
They're just, I don't know.
They're here in a month. Don't say that, Ben.
Geelong will be beating Brisbane, I think. They've just got too many injuries. They're not playing well. And like I said to you, I don't think they've played any footy this year that suggests they can win the flag. I reckon it's down to... I've said Adelaide are the wild card, but they still just are struggling with their team. Thilthorpe ranking out hurts now. I know Thilthorpe will come back, so will Rankin. They're a wild card late in the year if they got going and their full side was going, but not being in a position to win, have home finals. Freo and Sydney are in the box seat. I like Geelong's chances against Sydney.
Yep.
Because I somebody mentioned it too on the social media, on the Twitter, on the X King, on the Triple X, not just the X, the Triple X.
Right.
I got a story about that too, which I could tell.
No.
about when we went on an excursion. Anyway, Kingy's timestamp that. Fair to say Kingy is chuckling along like a chortling away over there.
Chortling. It's a great word, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not used very often.
It's underused, Kingy. Like there's like a lot of things.
Can we use them?
Have you got anything?
No.
Have you got anything that's underused?
No, Ben.
What about underutilized?
Can I get to some questions, Ben?
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
The Lord of Sleep.
Well, we just talking about that prior to going off track a little bit with the Triple X. I was talking about
the flag.
Somebody made a point to me, and I'd have to run the numbers, right? But I haven't run the numbers. Does Isaac Heaney beat up on the Bunnies?
Potentially.
He beat up on the Bunnies last week against Richmond.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was unbelievable. He was just against the Cats. I just wonder about him in big games.
Mm.
Now, he'll probably come out again to big game with Geelong kick about six. But his two grand finals have been absolute stink bombs.
Yep.
Like genuine stink bombs. I just wonder whether they have a few. I think their midfield, Goulden, he's coming back, I suppose. That is a big plus for them. I don't know about their defence. You're relying on, Rampy's older now, he's in and out, he's injured at the moment. McCartan and Malekin are perhaps a little bit undersized, albeit, McCartan is a very good player. He played well down here when they got beaten. And then up forward, you're relying on a Marty, paying $1.2 million some clubs are to try and get a Marty. What?
Yeah.
Collingwood and others, I find that extraordinary. I'm not sure about Joel or Marty. I'd fancy the Cats playing well to beat Sydney.
Yep.
I'm not sure about Freo.
Especially over there.
Name me a weakness Freo have.
No, not a lot.
I don't. They've got Pierce as a gun key defender. They've got Cox, who's underrated. They've got a midfield that is stacked with Sarong, Brayshaw, Young, Luke Jackson. You go forward, you've got Josh Tracy heading towards, probably the best mark in the competition. You've got Amos.
Yep.
You've got Shai Bolton. You've got Frederick. You've got that little... other little fella, what's his name, the live wire?
Murphy Reid.
And Murphy Reid's the one in the midfield as well. He's a gun. We've spoken about him in last week's podcast. They don't have a weakness on paper.
Shai Bolton would be a good story, wouldn't he? Playing those flags at Richmond
and then buzz off.
And home, find one over there as well.
Yeah, Liam Baker must be thinking, I don't know, West Coast.
Some other questions, Ben. Can I go through
have
those?
Have we got any others, Kingy?
A leak call on Friday night, even if the result ruined my weekend. I'm not throwing the baby out with the bathwater here. This is the Lord of Sleepy Hollow.
Oh, yeah. He was on last week.
We're still in a solid spot, but that third quarter slid away fast. The centre clearance battle became a massive problem. Carlton marched out of three consecutive stoppages for three straight goals, and we couldn't pull the reins
Neil
on
Cripps
and Walsh. When a midfield gets on a roll like that, what can Chris Scott actually do coaching-wise from the box to stop the bleeding?
Well, nothing, really. I mean, it's up to the players. I mean, unless he runs onto the field waving his arms, which is unlikely, Kingy.
Because you can't roll one back.
Yeah, I would have... I mean, I don't know what the situation was with... I mean, when you're calling, you don't know how long players have been off. You can't be over across all that. How long had big junk being off, because in the ruck, particularly centre clearances, that's one of his strengths at the moment. He's quite physical. He can get up. He can, at the very least, nullify the opposition. Pitney was monstering Shannon Neal. Neildy made mention of the fact that one after one of the centre clearances, he wasn't happy with Geelong's setup in terms of how they set up. And Carlton waltzed it out, and I think they kicked a goal. Neildy made mention of that. So it's up to the players. I mean, the only lever that really Scott could pull would be to get Edwards on potentially in the ruck, or get Blitzarves in, or change the ruckman in.
Yep.
And then, you know, possibly does he pull Dangerfield up for a couple? That's a possibility. Although Dangerfield, you know, is a very offensive player. If you're getting beaten, do you want, you know, do you fight fire with fire by putting Dangerfield in there, or do you put a couple of defensive players like perhaps a Bruin, you know, the other one who had a bad night, and we praised him, but he had a stinker, Mullen.
Yep.
He was in witness protection, hopeless. So, you know, he was a lot. I'd love to know how many centre bounces he was in there for, because it was a lot. How many clearances did Mullen have? Because he wasn't exactly.
He only had the 8 or 9 disposals, Benny.
He was nowhere. Yep. I don't even know he was out there.
Sheen Mullen had clearance was.
One. So, and I'd have to see his numbers in terms of how many centre bounces he was at, but it was quite a few. You know, he was asked to play. So here we go. He was asked to play, to go and play. And he struggled.
Yep.
He absolutely struggled.
More broadly, what does it go with our venue/bogey team kryptonite lately? We spoke about this earlier. Getting done by the Blues at the G, the Saints at Marvel, GWS at GMHBA. Feels like we can't lock down a consistent formula depending on where the team bus parks. Can't really answer why that happens, but that's what's happening at the moment. The Giants' record, Danny, is incredible.
It is, and they're sort of found their mojo the last couple of weeks, the Giants.
They're not coming here, but we've got to go there.
Yeah, that's not ideal.
Stig
80. Is it three interstate trips in 5 weeks?
Yep.
Yeah. And then the rest.
Oh, 3 and 6.
The last seven, the run is pretty good home.
Yep. So our last six.
Right.
Yeah, so after the Giants, it's six, where you, I think it's three at GMHBA, two at the G, one at Marvel.
I think we've played three of the bottom five and lost to two of them.
Yep.
Currently. Port Adelaide and Carlton.
Hmm.
We haven't played Richmond, Essendon.
No.
And we beat
West Coast in that gather round.
Yeah.
Yep. Stig, 89.
We'd be the only team in the top four that's played three of the bottom five and lost two.
And got to play Gold Coast again, Brisbane again.
That's down here, though.
Yeah.
I'm fancying our chances
but
there.
But still, second time around.
Yeah.
Gents, first time, long time from Stig 89. Whilst everything is great in hindsight, have we stuffed around with our forward line too much? Jez, Neil, both Henrys and Danger, far too tall and slow.
Yes.
Could Danger purely play like Joel did in 2022 as a mid off the bench, leaving Jez, Neil and Ollie Henry as the talls, with Grian close and Wiltshire as the smalls? Yes, Ollie is very early on, but pace and crumbing is what we lack, and we've got to find out about him sooner rather than later. That's true. Also, we have too many defenders. Don't stick them somewhere else like we did Reg towards the end. I get it worked with Harris Andrews, but Jack isn't a forward. Unfortunately, Colo, Henry, DK and Sally can't all play together, so Colo probably has to sit. Love your work.
No, I agree with all that. I think we've, you know, it'll be really interesting to see whether, and I don't think we will, but does the Cats and the coaching staff, do they sort of go with something that they think works for the back end of the year? Or are we in a sort of an experimental phase where, well, clearly we are, but, you know, does it reach a point where you play Henry back and you have you're not going to have your best 23, I get that, but do you have a sort of a formula that you're trying to sort of, you know, bed down in terms of where the players are going to play at the back end of the season? I hope so. Mm. I'd hope so, because we are, yeah, I think we are playing players out of position, which is what the Cats have done because they preach versatility. I get that. But I think they're, I mean, look, they've lost to Carlton by 4 points. You know, Carlton have players who get paid.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a heap of first-round picks in that team. Walsh, Cripps, Wietering, Chera.
Smith.
Yeah, they're, I know they had a struggle to start the year, but they're in front in a lot of games. They just were horrible in the second half, but they were in led teams, a lot of teams at half-time. So, yeah, okay, it was disappointing to lose. We lost by 4 points. Prior to that, we were up and about the Cats. But I do think that you... If you Dicing with death, playing some of these blokes out of their positions.
I think it's a result that hurts because I reckon if you went, look, you know, if you're 9-3 and you lost the next two, you're still 10-5. Mm. Whereas now they'll be 9-6, and I just think it brings you back to the pack. I think this one's the one that could be the difference between coming out of an elimination final and starting in a qualifying.
What, the result Friday night?
Yep.
Well, if they lose the three interstate games, and then win the remainder,
16-7.
Yeah, that'll get you top four.
Yep.
But the problem with that is that the Cats are likely to win on Thursday and then lose to North or, you know, they'll lose one of those games, I'd say, somewhere. But if they lose one of those games and lose the three interstate games, and then you're starting to sort of hit 15-8, 14-9.
And then you're coming out of an elimination final.
Yep.
Hell of 41, like the Titanic, I had that sinking feeling all week but tried to think our best is good enough. Unfortunately, we didn't bring our best. I feel we're too tall. I'd like Jack Henry to go back and probably collar out for this week. We'd also like a look at Wiltshire, who's kicked 6 goals the last 2 weeks, a bit more zip in forward half. Also, are we worried about Blitz? I feel he's just dropped away a bit this season, and with others able to ruck, he's lost his strength.
Yeah, he needs to London fog and lift Blitz halves.
I still think he's the second best ruck in the team.
Yeah.
He still gives you more than Shannon Neal does in the ruck.
Yeah, I'd say so.
You're advocating for
him. I didn't mind. Neal had a bad night on. I mean, for the second week in a row, Neal hasn't kicked a goal. I actually don't mind Neal in the ruck because I think he's quite aggressive and he's very athletic. Obviously, he didn't have a good night on Friday night. I will admit that he in the ruck or up forward. But I don't mind him in the ruck. Blitz arms is probably better at this stage around the ground. Mm. You know, Neil has a huge running capacity as well. But yeah, blitz arms is better around the ground. Blitz arms is just really struggling, really struggling. He like you say, since he's come back, he hasn't played a good game. No. In fact, he's you don't even know he's out there at times.
Daz Broncos, we all saw the Wile E. Coyote banana peel game coming. We all heard the chatter and banana peels. We felt the unease underfoot. And yet after all the advanced states of Bruce Nankervisness running around, we still managed to slip on it. Granted, 4 points ain't the end of the world, but still it undermines a little and keeps the bastards honest, which ain't a bad thing overall heading into the Crows game. Bit of a must win to keep at the pointy bit of the ladder. Few sore boys in recovery, I reckon. Jezza, arms and groins. Myers, not assured, focused on the knee. Atkins, just off the pace a bit and ready for a spell. Humphreys, I feared a knee Menzel style, but it seems an ankle. Blitz, that right angle knee still makes me puke a bit. Neil, hip pointer and could hardly move. Question, what else does Bowes, Warple and Stevens need to get a rotation into the 23 for this week? I think Warple's at the front of that pack.
Yes, I agree.
Bowes' disposal just lets him down.
And he's not quick.
And Stevens, we know.
He's even slower.
Yeah. Which makes you wonder why. You know he's not quick when you draft him. Or do you think.
Maybe they figure that he.
You put him in the system and he finds a yard?
Well, maybe they figure he was going to be elite, so elite that he was able to overcome that. But
he was pick 50 something.
Yeah. It's proven. I mean, we took Charlie Constable.
Mm.
Similar.
George Horner-Smith.
Yeah. Just too slow, it's disappointing. I mean, I would have thought at least Warple has some sort of leg speed to his game, can win a clearance, which is what we're lacking. His tackles, he sort of does everything. He's not a great kick, no, but he's sort of a, you know, he does a bit of everything okay in the midfield. He's not elite, but he's handy enough. And I would have thought, if Tommy Atkins has reached the point where he's just struggling, I'd be just looking to give him a rest. I mean, I don't know whether the rest is going to help him in terms of that foot problem, but can't do him any harm, let's put it that way. And, I mean, I know this is a big game because, like you say, if Geelong could somehow find a way to win, if someone said to you, take two players out of the Crows team, I'm taking Thilthorpe Rankin out.
Yep.
Thilthorpe's the match winner. He's been up and down this year, but he's a gun.
Dawson's the other one.
Yeah, okay. They'd be the three. We've taken two of the three you would probably, most people would mention right off the bat. Rankin's elite.
Yeah. And fun to watch.
Well, I mean, we're thinking he's not playing. I'd be surprised if he did, but, you know, you never know. But fun to watch, exactly, but he can turn games, and Thilthorpe's the one that can absolutely turn games. And so, you know, Geelong get an opportunity against a side with that's going to be missing two of its best, say, five players.
Yeah. Daz Broncos, how did Ken Bruce, did Benny go off air after the Dempsey non-goal? Roden missed goal and arc silence. Everyone that saw the replay 15 seconds after the incident knew it was a goal. Even those in the Yu Yangs that never get it right knew it was their goal. AFL is farcical at times in the implementation of their rules.
Oh.
It didn't change the result. There was still 120 minutes of, well, thereabouts of footage.
So we want to analyse everything.
Yeah.
And yet there's a goal and we don't analyse it. Yeah. But we analyse balls dribbling off people's shins out in the wing, in case it's a free kick, in case there's a lasso. Yeah. Yet there's a, someone kicks a goal and we don't review it. It's almost Keystone sort of cops arrangement.
Gents, just a quick one. Who don't you think Scott rotates more players? I think that might, why don't you think Scott rotates more players through the midfield, e.g. talking about Bruin. It seems with Bruin he either plays a whole game there or not play there at all. I don't understand it. Fox yeah. 50.
I tend to agree. So, you know, you're saying that they're trying to ease him back. I don't know how you ease someone back in a game of AFL footy, in fairness. I mean, he wasn't injured last year. He was able to do training, you would have thought. And I think he did come back and train with the club at the back end of the year.
Yep.
So it's not like he's coming off an injury. He's a professional athlete. So easing him back in, I don't see that that is really possible at this level of footy. Even though he's playing at halfback, it's still as brutal as he's playing in the midfield. But I would have thought, though, offsetting that is if the suggestion is that they are trying to ease him back, then, or, you know, assist him in coming back after a year off, assist him by playing him in the one position.
Yeah.
Assist him by giving him some continuity to find his feet playing the one position. Because I think you're right. Who was that?
That was Foxdog 50.
Foxdog 50. He makes sense. You see him in the midfield, he's playing predominantly in the midfield, you think, great. And then the next week he's playing 75% at half back. And you're thinking, well, hang on, what? So it must be difficult for him because he's not finding his feet. Play him in the midfield. That's why he was drafted pick 12. That's where Geelong have a deficiency. Why are we doing this? I don't understand it.
Cats. Throw a bit of a throwback question. Jason Mooney, why didn't he go on to have a career similar to that of Cameron? Got us excited after booting sausage rolls, five of them, against the Bombers at one time. So he came from the Swans, where he played 97 games and kicked 51 goals. At the Cats, he played 32 games, 50 goals. In 99, his first year, he kicked 33 goals from 15 games. 13 goals from 12 games in his second year, and 4 goals from 5 games in what proved to be his last year. In the end, I think his body failed him in the end.
Yeah, and was he absolutely committed to footy? I don't know.
No, I'm not sure.
No, I he wasn't. I think you're right. He may have run into a few injury problems. He was probably not that versatile. I don't think he had a great tank, so he couldn't really play anywhere other than just up forward. And in the end, other players went past him, and you know, it doesn't take long at that level. If you drop off, someone whizzes past you and you gives you windburn, and that's what happened to him.
So it's basically 25 years since he played his last game for the Cats.
God, it goes quickly, doesn't it?
5th of May 2001 at the
Gabba. He wore the 17. Did he wear the 17?
I wore 16.
16, yeah.
Because Bluey was in 17 at the time.
That's right, yeah.
Catters 07. Gents, seemed like a loss a lot predicted. One thing I'll say, over the course of 5 to 6 months, it's difficult to beat your best every week, and we got worked out more than anything Friday night. Benny, I know you're not always a Chris Scott fan. I would be seen as a bit of a defender of his. However, I must admit I'm a bit frustrated that we don't have a more consistent basis, a settled back line.
Yep.
O'Sullivan, Jack Henry, SDK, Guthrie, T. Stewart, who should be the pillars in the back line, but there's so much changing, I feel like you lose a bit of connectivity by switching so often. You need to try things, but Geelong aren't in a position where they will finish top four. Tough next 3 games where we need to win at least 2 heading into the bye before a launch for the last third of the season.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we've already sort of spoken about all that loosely, and I tend to agree. I mean, you can't just send the same player out in the same position every week. Well, you can, I suppose. You do have to have a little bit of versatility within your team, but I think we're starting to stretch that versatility to where it's creeping into impacting the way the team's playing. Now, did it impact us the previous few weeks? No. I don't know. It's a real catch-22, isn't it?
Yep.
I mean, if Geelong scrape home by 4 points, what are we saying?
Oh, probably still asking questions.
Yeah, we probably are. I just think there's some... Yeah, I think there's some players who react well to being thrown around a little bit, and there's others that don't, and I'm just not sure that we've got the right mix in what we're throwing around at the minute. And they're trying to fit players in by playing other blokes out of position, and I don't know that that is going to work long term. It's worked a few weeks, but I don't know long term whether you want to be saying, well, we want to play this bloke, but that means that this bloke is going to have to play actually out of his position to allow this bloke to play. Don't know if that's working.
Jumping Jack, keen to get your thoughts on where Mark Blitzarves is right now, averaging less than 10 disposals since returning. Appears to be spending less time in the ruck, had just 3 kicks from 9 disposals against the Blues.
Yep.
Look, lost a few times on Friday night, and Cripps worked him over late in the game. Most evident when Blitzarves was unable to run with Cripps and get back into defence. That left Cameron exposed and out of position in the goal square for that last play. Plenty of credits in the bank, but there are some worrying signs. Ranked in the bottom 6 players on the ground 3 weeks straight.
Yeah.
Is the end coming for Mark Blitzarves?
Well... No, I mean, I wouldn't be writing him off just yet, but...
Out of contract.
3 weeks in a row, yeah, he needs to find something.
I suspect he's in the crew. I suspect he and Patrick Dangerfield, if they were to jag a flag this year, that would be it for both of them.
Well, let's hope that happens, Kingy. Yeah. But, yeah, I do think that... Yeah, look, he needs to find some form. And the credits in the bank is 100% right. He does have credits in the bank, and that will allow him to play for the next 2 or 3 weeks. But if he's having 6 weeks in a row where he's in the bottom 6, you've got a difficult decision to make.
Off the KFCX, Edmund, 59. The Cats played too tall versus the Blues. Any idea why they keep playing Henry Ford?
Yeah, we've spoken about that. I think it's to allow Colajazzi, well, others to play in defence, yet then they go to defence and they're using the midfielders in defence. So I'm a bit lost, Tom.
The Rendered Cat. Hello, gents. Late game execution becoming a concern. 6 points up with 2 minutes left versus Hawks and lose. 2 points up with 2 minutes left in the ball versus Blues and lose. Might not want to turn a blind eye to this one. On the positive, O'Sullivan deserves much more external recognition.
Oh.
Jet.
He was elite. I did notice after the game, I don't know if anybody who was there may have noticed it as well, that Mark Blitzarve spent quite a bit of time. And I asked him out because we had him on after the game, and of course he didn't tell us, which is I didn't expect him to. But he spent, I don't know, after everyone had sort of shaken hands or they were sort of doing that, he was at centre half back, and I'm pretty sure from memory, I think it was Mark O'Connor he was talking to. Yeah. Look, I might be wrong. Anyway, I think it was O'Connor, but he was talking to him for about 2 or 3 minutes about. It was, the way he was gesticulating was about the setup of the last 2 minutes of the game.
And maybe who was responsible for Paddy Cripps.
Well, I don't know. He didn't say what it was, but, you know. And then even as he was, then he, this, so this will let me set up back in the MCG. Then as he was walking off, he was still talking about, you know, you could see he was talking about the game.
Yep.
So whatever it was, you know, he was all over it. And we've heard from Reg that he is one of the more vocal players on the Cat side, Mark Blitzarves, in terms of out in the ground.
Yeah. Enough from Cariah. Who is looser? Benny's tonsils or Mark O'Connor letting Paddy Cripps roam free? So some think it was Blitzarves' man, some think it was Cripps' man before taking that mark. Nuff's going to go more strategic this week. Geelong are too tall either end of the ground. If they can't find Buse's magnet, why don't they move Atkins back with a tall out? Well, Atkins has been playing back, hasn't he?
He has played a little bit of back, yeah. And as I said, he's... My male is he's got plantar fascia, and that's it's
hurting.
Yeah.
Damien Tedesco.
Mr. Tedesco.
What is it with us and the Blues? They are our bogey team. Jack Henry must go back, stop playing him forward. Maybe a loss we needed to reassess
how we're
going. Seems
to be a theme, Kiki, doesn't it?
Do you think we have a chance on Thursday night if we play like we did against Brisbane?
Yeah, 100% we've got a chance.
One over there last year.
Yeah, I mean, we've got a chance. I think Adelaide are a good side, in fairness. I've mentioned this, that they just haven't had continuity in their players, and they're going to miss two this week. Well, we think two. Well, certainly Thilthorpe because he's suspended. But they're a good side. Will they be setting themselves for this? Did they nearly beat the Cats down here? They did. But can the Cats win? 100% they can win. I mean, if they Geelong bring their A game, they can win.
The token opener, Mick Howley. How long until Chris Scott seizes on the premiership motivation of the players and fans alike of getting to hear Ben's Bluetooth story?
that could get you going, Tom. Do you think?
I'm not letting you tell it.
So what happened was
Max
there
Blake,
was a kid's party.
Max Blake, 9-44. Can someone... hang on. I can turn your microphone off. It's fine. Can someone please solve the mystery of why they kept Jed Buse on the list?
Yeah, well, we have absolutely no idea. Do you ever see Buse?
Yeah, run into him occasionally.
I'd ask you. I'd just say...
Yeah. Why are you still here?
No. Oh, no. I'm talking about... Sorry, Andrew.
Yeah. Occasionally run into him.
I'd love to see him because I'd just say, look, what is going on?
I'm catching him in a few weeks, actually, Busey.
Well, I just say, can you explain to me, is Jed's magnet, have you got it at home?
Did it fall into his bag? And yeah. And Marky Mark, Castagnoli's number one season ticket holder. Let's keep perspective here. Still fourth, going to have an easy run into the finals, have beaten both Freo and the Swans, who are considered the best in the league. Our fear factor going into finals will be considerable.
I don't disagree with that. And as I've said, I think Geelong are one team this year with their best football is premiership football. Now, how they get there is going to be interesting, and we dropped a game that was, like I said, it was so frustrating. I mean, you know, if Geelong lose this week by 4 points, you say, well, it's a pretty good effort away from home. They've clearly probably played quite well, and they've gone down. You say, well, okay, we move on. That's a good performance. That Friday night was just agonisingly frustrating because you think to yourself, my God, we've been beaten by a team that is struggling. Mind you, if you have a look at Carlton's next 5 games, they could end up making finals.
Yep. It's been written about by many.
Yeah.
That.
I'm not papering over it that we didn't play well, but... Yeah, it was just so frustrating as a Geelong supporter to drop that game. Having you work so hard to put yourself in a position, win games against good opposition, play well, you go to a game where you clearly have a talent edge, you have a team edge, you have an edge, you know, potentially in every facet, and you just don't make good on that. It's just you know, eats at you, gets into your craw, can you hear the craw?
The Cats Hall of Fame function is next. You're an idiot. What? Cats Hall of Fame function is in a month, Saturday, July 4.
And Gary Ablett.
He's being elevated to legend status.
What does that mean?
Is that a preemptive...
What does he get for that?
Oh, well, just that's...
Does he get like a... Does Bob Ansett come out with a big scissors and like a giant key to something?
Higher recognition. So he becomes a 29th legend. Is that a preemptive strike by the Cats because next week he goes into the AFL Hall of Fame first up because he's due? So he's eligible this year, 5 years out.
Oh, looking, I wouldn't want to say guess all that. That's not my wheel.
But should he?
My wheelhouse. Go straight in.
Yep.
Gaz?
Yeah.
Look, I don't want to poo-poo all that, but I'm not a big Hall of Fame sort of person.
That's fine.
In fairness, do you think he should? You're better. You'd be better equipped than me to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. His career says he should.
Yeah, I would say yes. Then. If you're saying yes, I'm all for. He should have been in 5 minutes after his career ended.
Joel Selwood.
Is Gary Ablett Senior in there?
No, he's not. No. Joel Selwood.
See now. So it goes on. Obviously, goes on things other than just football. Yes.
Joel Selwood.
How could Gary Ablett Senior not be in there?
Well,
there's 6 minutes of 48 I watched the other night of Gary doing extraordinary things, Kingy. And my pants.
Yes, right. Joel Selwood is going in, and so is Mark Thompson. Interestingly,
into the
Geelong Hall of Fame.
Right.
Interestingly, Chris Scott went into the Geelong Hall of Fame before Mark Thompson. Mm. Is that a little bit of a, well, Mark, you sort of just upped and left?
Oh, probably a bit of politics plays into it, Kingy, does it? Mm. That is a bit odd.
Yeah.
I mean, Bomber turned the Cats around.
He did.
He was the man. That started all this, the juggernaut. Not,
yes.
He started this juggernaut. And Chris Scott has continued the juggernaut going, so full credit to him. But, Bomber, I would have... If you played that out to someone and said that's what happened, they would raise an eyebrow, wouldn't they?
Hmm.
So, yeah, look, I'm sure, as with the Gary Ablett Senior thing, unfortunately there's other factors at play other than just purely football. And I mean, that's the way it goes, but I've never been a great sort of, you know, Hall of Fame sort of, it's not my cup of tea.
The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, locally owned and operated for over 40 years.